Good morning. Today I will be reading the Panagraph for Thursday, July 11, 2019, and my name is Janice Schweizer. We'll start today with One Big Splash. Students participate in simulated astronaut training by Lenore Sabota. As the nation prepares to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the first moon landing, a potential future generation of space explorers is at the Normal Community West High School pool using training methods similar to those used by astronauts. The 10 students, ages 11 to 14, are participating in the International Space Station Underwater Camp offered by the Challenger Learning Center at Heartland Community College. Students using snorkels and a device called Sea Breathe, similar to scuba gear, work together to assemble a model of the International Space Station underwater. It is similar to NASA's Neutral Buoyancy Lab in Houston, a giant pool where astronauts practice for spacewalks, explained Stacy Shrewsbury, associate director of the Challenger Learning Center. The water helps simulate working in zero gravity. It is an opportunity to see a glimpse of what astronauts are able to do, said Shrewsbury. The class has been offered 4 times in the last 8 years, she said. Some students who participated in 2017 have returned. One of them is Michael Harding, 13, of Bloomington, who said, "Taking the class again is enriching what I learned 2 years ago. I am interested in becoming an astronaut, but because of my asthma, that's something I can't do," he said. "Getting to do something like the astronauts do is incredible to me." Although he might not fly in space, Michael plans to become an astronomer or something along those lines. Another participant, 13-year-old Joseph Warfel of Bloomington, said, "I'm definitely curious about being an astronaut, but that seems like somewhat of a long shot." Even if the students never go into space, they are learning valuable skills, says Shrewsbury. Just like a space mission, a big part of underwater camp is teamwork, she noted. Each is teamed with a buddy during the camp. They need to work together to assemble the various parts of the space station, being careful to align them properly. The camp gives students an opportunity to be part of a team, to try something new and say, "Wow, I did that," said Shrewsbury. The 4-day camp ends Thursday when the students will put all the pieces together in the pool while their families watch. For Johanna Gonzalez of Normal, the camp combines many of her interests. "I love anything to do with water," said the 11-year-old. "I like to build too, and I love learning." Her favorite astronaut is Krista McAuliffe, the teacher who was among the 7 crew members killed in the Space Shuttle Challenger explosion in 1986. The Challenger Learning Centers were created to continue the educational mission of that crew. Johanna said, "I'm happy they are honoring the people who passed." Our next article is Building Sail Still, Work in Progress by Maria Nagel. State Farm is still working through the sale process of its former headquarters building downtown, but the insurer and its broker otherwise are staying close-lipped despite the apparent end of a 90-day due diligence period. Last week, broker Jill Guth of Guth & Associates of Champaign told the Panagraph, "I'm out of the office and am not allowed to discuss the project until next Tuesday or Wednesday." She did not respond Wednesday to a request for another update. Company spokesman Chris Pilsick said on Wednesday that, quote, "We're still working through the sale process and there is nothing to share right now," unquote. In early March, Guth confirmed an unnamed prospective buyer had entered into a purchase agreement with State Farm for the 13-story Art Deco building at 112 East Washington Street. She said the would-be buyer envisions a combination of uses, including a concentration of retail and restaurant occupants on the first floor. Both parties anticipated closing the deal this summer, Pilsick said at the time. State Farm has since removed and preserved historical items from the building. Guth said a 90-day due diligence period would determine whether we want to move forward with the closing on the property. That time frame ended in June. State Farm has declined to disclose an asking price for the building, which has a market value of just under $9 million, according to the McLean County Assessor's Office. State Farm closed the 200,000 square foot building in January 2018 and offered it for sale 3 months later. The 90-year-old building has been a downtown beacon for decades and was the insurer's corporate headquarters from 1929 to 1972. At its peak, the building had up to 900 employees, including founder G. J. Meckerle. The last 150 employees were moved to other State Farm offices in Bloomington by January 31, 2018. Closing and selling the building was part of a massive restructuring by State Farm to better serve its customers, company officials said. In 2017, State Farm announced plans to close 11 facilities across the U.S. over the next 4 years, and moving that work to its Bloomington headquarters and regional hubs in Atlanta, Phoenix, and Dallas. Next, system error delays Illinois benefit checks. This is by Jerry Nowicki. State officials are working to fix a database error that rendered the Illinois Department of Employment Security website unable to process unemployment claims or mandatory certifications online Tuesday or Wednesday. A statement from IDES spokesman Sam Salustro said unemployment checks cannot be released until the system is up and running again, and the department anticipates that to be by the end of the week. Most recipients of unemployment benefits will receive their payments by Friday, he said in a statement. Staff worked through the night on a solution and will continue to work all hours until the issue is fully fixed. Salustro said the online Illinois benefit information system was down since late Monday, but those who filed their unemployment claims online prior to the outage should receive their checks Friday once the system is returned to working order. Those who filed claims in person or via the department's call center after the Monday outage should receive checks Friday as well, he added. While Salustro said the database error was not caused by a cybersecurity breach, the exact cause of the malfunction is not fully known. Claims can still be made by calling or visiting an unemployment office while the system is down. Claimants can find the nearest office by visiting https://www.ides.illinois.gov/pages/office_locator.aspx. The call center can be reached at 800-244-5631. The only mention of the outage on the IDES website came in a brief statement published Tuesday, which remained there Wednesday. The agency is temporarily experiencing system problems. Our system is currently unable to process claims, certifications, or access claim information. We are working diligently to resolve the issue. You may contact our call center at 800-244-5631 or visit an office near you for general information, according to the website. Salustro said staff was looking into a notification process should claimants not receive their checks as scheduled on Friday. Our next article, Mayor's Focus on Transit, Climate at Conference, by Derek Bai. Twin City residents someday may be able to point to an Uber-like microtransit service and solar panels on the roof of Uptown Station, knowing they originated 4,000 miles away. Those were among ideas floated for Bloomington Normal after its mayors attended the annual meeting of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, a gathering of municipal executives held June 28 to July 1 in Honolulu. It's invaluable to any mayor who wants to be effective because you can't make decisions that are microscopic in isolation from what the real world is doing, said Bloomington Mayor Tari Renner. The only difference between a big city and a small city is commas and zeros. The core issues are the same, said Normal Mayor Chris Koos. Renner and Koos both sit on the conference's transportation committee, meaning they focus on issues like public transit and travel infrastructure. One idea that caught Renner's attention was microtransit, a possible alternative or addition to bus services like the Twin Cities' often debated Connect Transit. The basic idea is a small van that will respond to an app if people need to go from one bus stop to another between when buses would normally appear, said Renner. I don't know if it's appropriate for us, but we'll pass it along to the work group looking at the service. The system's Connect Mobility Service for the elderly and disabled follows a similar model. There was a lot of discussion of transit and how it fits in a 21st century city, said Koos. We'll be thinking about how to take a holistic approach to Connect Transit. Koos attended not only the annual meeting, but the Climate Mayor's Summit the day before. I'd like to explore solar on the roof of Uptown Station parking deck to make City Hall carbon neutral, and the same thing on the College Avenue deck to see if we can power the water treatment plant, he said. We're already doing a baseline greenhouse gas assessment for the community. Renner said he also learned more at the meeting about the 2020 census. He hopes to establish a census task force for the Twin Cities. We need to convey to our community how critical it is to respond, not only because of how much money you get from other governments and legislative representation, but how we deliver services, said Renner. The more accurate the census, the better the services, the better the next decade of society will be. Koos said he will also be watching how much control cities have over their right-of-way when telecommunications companies are looking to install infrastructure for 5G, faster cellular data networks. The city and town paid for each mayor's trip. Renner's travel costs included $1,924.50 for hotel stays and $1,018 for airfare. Koos's costs were about $2,700 total, including $1,050 for flights. The next article. City, town seek input on grant usage. Public meetings set to prioritize community needs, by Derek Bai. Twin City residents will help decide this month how nearly $5 million in federal money is spent on affordable housing and other services in the next 5 years. Bloomington and Normal will each hold a public meeting on plans for Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, money. Annual federal funding, quote, to develop viable urban communities by providing decent housing and a suitable living environment, and by expanding economic opportunities, principally for low and moderate income persons, close quote, said Lauren Gibson, community planner with the McLean County Regional Planning Commission. The meetings are at 5:30 to 7 p.m. July 25th in the cafe at the Normal Public Library, 206 West College Avenue, and 5:30 to 7 p.m. July 29th in the community room at Bloomington Public Library, 205 East Olive Street. Though Bloomington and Normal historically have gotten the money, the 2020 to 24 period is the first time they're working together on how to spend it in partnership with the Planning Commission. The meetings are the second step in the planning process after residents were invited this spring to fill out a brief survey on how to spend the money. The meetings will help officials choose from among those suggestions and surveys, said Vasu Gadhiraju, executive director of the Planning Commission. The need is far greater than available resources, so we want to take this opportunity to further prioritize what we heard through 1,200 citizen surveys, she said. We hope people will attend, learn about CDBG more, and help us prioritize that funding. Officials also surveyed organizations that provide services related to CDBG's goals, said Gadhiraju. That information, in addition to public surveys and meetings, will be combined into a report to be presented to both city councils this fall. Officials plan to submit a plan to federal officials in early 2020. Bloomington currently spends 52% of its CDBG money on housing rehabilitation and service delivery, 20% on demolition, 13% on public services, 9% on infrastructure and public facilities, and 6% on administration. Normal has spent CDBG money on youth education activities, homeless outreach, improved affordability of housing, infrastructure improvements in low to moderate income areas of the community, public facilities and improvements, and clearance activities, said Associate Planner Taylor Long. We hope these meetings bring in quite a number of people and unique perspectives, said Long. It's once every 5 years that this kind of large-scale community development-specific public outreach is conducted, and the importance of this process really cannot be overstated. Next, Health Board Plans Balanced Budget for 2020 by Paul Sweech. The McLean County Health Department is planning a balanced budget for the fiscal year that begins January 1, with revenue and expenses about 7.2% lower than the current fiscal year. The McLean County Board of Health on Wednesday night discussed a balanced health department budget of revenue and expenses of $8,535,508. That's 7.18% less than the 2019 balanced budget of $9,196,219. The board is expected to take action on the budget at its August 14th meeting. Board member Susan Schaefer had additional questions, and Board President Judy Buchanan urged her to meet with Health Department Finance Director Kathy Dreyer to get those questions answered before the next meeting. The total tax rate to support Health Department programs will decrease from 0.11083 cents per $100 assessed valuation to 0.11035 cents per $100 assessed valuation, a decrease of 0.43%. We've worked diligently to allow a good stewardship of tax dollars by decreasing expenses and using staff time more efficiently, Dreyer told the Pantograph. I'm proud of our employees who recognize the importance of being accountable to our community with a balanced budget, said Tammy Brooks, Interim Health Department Administrator. We've combined some programs, our staff has been cross-trained, and as we have had vacancy, we have not filled the positions, Brooks said. A full-time nursing position, a full-time office support position, and a part-time parking attendant position will not be filled, Brooks said. In addition, the Health Department Communication Specialist position will be restructured to share responsibilities with County Administration, Brooks said. The Health Department has 85 employees. Responsibilities include restaurant inspections and communicable disease control. We have not received any information from County Administration regarding a salary increase, Dreyer said. That information will become available as County Administration goes through the budget process. The tentative budget is balanced with the assistance of $199,433 from the Department's Health Fund balance, which was about $2 million as of December 31, Dreyer said. Revenue and expenses are projected to decrease in part because of a state change in the federal claiming process for unreimbursed Medicaid expenses, Dreyer said. We'll get Medicaid reimbursement for family case management, immunizations, and dental, but our expenses are more than the reimbursement, she explained. In the past, we could claim 50% of unreimbursed cost. Starting in 2020, we will no longer be able to do that. The Health Department will supplement the loss by using $115,000 in reserves from its Federal Financial Participation Fund, which had a balance of about $1.4 million as of December 31, Dreyer said. In other action, the board approved access to care, behavioral health, and healthy eating, active living as McLean County's top three health needs in the Community Health Needs Assessment. The assessment also must be approved by boards representing Advocate Broman Medical Center, OSF Healthcare, St. Joseph Medical Center, and Chestnut Family Health Center. Foundation to honor five Central Illinois veterans. Five Central Illinois veterans will be recognized Thursday during an annual fundraiser for the Great Plains Life Foundation. 20 Stars for Life is Thursday at Lafayette Banquet Hall, Bloomington. Doors open at 7 p.m. and the recognition ceremony will begin at 8 p.m. Colonel Greg Holan, commander of the Illinois Army National Guard's 404th Maneuver Enhancement Brigade, will assist with the presentation. Soldiers to be honored are U.S. Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant Christopher Grant, U.S. Army Specialist Robert Kearney, U.S. Air National Guard Senior Airman Alex Smith, U.S. Navy Lieutenant Commander Paul Smith, and U.S. Army Captain Cedric Williams. After the recognition ceremony, the Galaxy of Stars will be introduced for their efforts on behalf of the Stay For Project, a local initiative designed to address high school dropouts and help low-income students find success. Tickets are $35 and available at the door. Admission includes an hors d'oeuvre buffet, beverages, dancing, and a chance to win a trip for two to Las Vegas. Visit www.stay4.org or call 309-828-3406. Easter Seals Walk, set Saturday at ISU. An event to support and celebrate children and teens with disabilities and developmental delays happens Saturday at Illinois State University. Walk With Me, a walk with champions, a fundraiser for Easter Seals Central Illinois, asks Central Illinoisans to walk with champions who receive Easter Seals services and alumni who have benefited from the services. The 10th annual family-friendly event celebrates progress made by children who receive Easter Seals services and raises money to support those services. The event will happen at ISU's Hancock Stadium, 211 North Main Street, Normal, beginning with a check-in at 8 a.m. and walking on the Hancock Stadium track beginning at 9 a.m. Post-walk activities continue until 11:30 a.m. Anyone can register at http://ESCI.link/walkwithme. Easter Seals in McLean County serves 1,200 children and teens with autism, cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, visual impairments, and other disabilities. Residents Damaged in Shooting by Maria Nagel. No one was injured when shots were fired Tuesday night in North Normal, but officers found damage to a resident on Curtis Court near the 100 block of Shelbourne Drive. Our officers were called to the northern part of town Tuesday at about 5:45 p.m., said Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner. We had received reports of possible shots fired. Once we arrived on scene, we located some damage to a residence there, and we located other evidence that shots had been fired. Officers interviewed people in the area, and at this time we are still working through the investigation, the chief said. Wednesday afternoon, at this time, we are not aware of any damage that has been done or any victims or anybody who was struck or hit by gunfire. No arrests have been made in connection with the gunfire, but while investigating the shooting, police took a person into custody on unrelated charges, said Bleichner. In 9 shooting incidents in Normal this year, no one has been struck by gunfire, but police verified shots were fired at people, buildings, or cars, Bleichner said. The number is up from 6 at this time last year. Street closures planned for Art Fest. McLean County Arts Center's Sugar Creek Arts Festival will force the closure of some streets and parking areas in Uptown Normal from Friday through Sunday. The festival runs from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday and from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sunday. Affected streets and parking lots will be signed No Parking at noon Friday and close at 2 p.m. They are North Street from Fell to Uptown Circle, Broadway Avenue at the intersection of Broadway Avenue and North Street, Constitution Boulevard from Uptown Circle to College Avenue with no parking beginning at 2 a.m., East Beaufort from Uptown Circle to Linden, West Beaufort from Uptown Circle to the Uptown Station parking deck, Uptown Circle sections of Trail East and Trail West parking lots as marked. Constitution Trail, as it passes through Uptown from Linden Street to Mulberry Avenue, will be closed during the event hours. All affected areas will reopen Sunday after the event as breakdown and safety allows. Parking will be free in the College Avenue deck. For an hourly fee, parking will be available at the parking decks at Beaufort Street and Uptown Station. Parking in the Uptown Station parking deck is free on Sunday. For event information, go to www.uptownnormal.com. Next, Community Approved, Sugar Creek Arts Festival Returns by Derek Bai. Sean Corner knows precisely how long it takes him to get to Sugar Creek Arts Festival. The drive is exactly 9 hours from Wichita, Kansas, but it's worth it. It's one of my favorite shows to do, he said. I'm so glad they've kept it a small show, but it still gets so many people. The community always supports us. Corner, a sculptor, will be among about 130 artists in Uptown Normal this weekend for McLean County Arts Center's annual event, a two-day celebration of ceramics, fiber, glass, jewelry, painting, photography, wood, and other art. MCAC Director Doug Johnson said the venerable festival remains largely the same, a hand-picked group of artists from near and far gathered to demonstrate and sell their wares. But it's a formula that led publication Sunshine Artist to put Sugar Creek among the nation's top 100 art festivals. It's a great way to get an overview of that kind of high craft and art people are making now, said Johnson, of the event, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday and 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sunday. There's a lot of really talented local artists we're fortunate the community knows and supports. We have a unique opportunity, a unique community in the state to have such a high density of really talented artists. Johnson said the festival is made possible not only by artists and sponsors, but community volunteers who help artists run their booths, including minding the store when they need a break and fetching them cool water. He encouraged those who interested in lending a hand to email douglas.johnson@mcac.org. Corner said he appreciates that Sugar Creek attendees, Johnson estimated 20,000 total, show up ready to spend on art on top of attending the free festival. Johnson said he uses the July event to start finding Christmas gifts. They really come prepared to spend on art, which is always encouraging to any artist, said Corner. I do a lot of shows that have 300 to 400 exhibitors, and those are pretty tough to get the sales because it's so spread out. I do about 25 art shows per year, and it can be challenging. One of this year's big changes is another help for artists. More will be able to check in and begin to set up Friday night because the town has cleared MCAC to take over Beaufort Street earlier than usual. The festival spans Uptown, including two music stages on Broadway Avenue and Uptown Circle. Scheduled performers include Leah Marlene, Sarah Kwa, Sugar Creek Cloggers, and Sugar Beats. The Broadway stage, because of its place in the festival, will be a little louder this year than it has been in the last couple years, with more high-energy music and some blues, he said. The roundabout is much more of our acoustic singer-songwriter space. Johnson said he always enjoys seeing friends at the festival and meeting new ones. The great thing for me is constantly finding these connections between artists that may have studied with someone we know or shown with different artists that we've known. The artist community, even though we're looking at artists from around the country, is a small place, he said. The great thing about being in this position is being able to provide an avenue that supports them. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the July 11th Pantograph.